Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wake up, America.
What's happening, Dr. Dre?
What's happening, Rob Ford? You all right, sir?
Doing yes, great, sir. Man. We got a lot of NBA talk tonight, folks.
That's right. Well, man, we are now on the air. Not adjust the dial.
Your time is up. My time is now.
My boy.
My time is now. It's a free time. Well, I'm shining now. You
yes,
can't
sir.
See me. My time is now.
How are you guys doing tonight? Today is, of course, Wednesday, July the 11th. And we are officially on our regular night, guys. Just for those that are checking, it is Wednesday, as mentioned. And welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We have another explosive show for you guys, as always. And yours truly, Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. And as always, I'm here to set the table as far as the events for the night. So first and foremost, I know you guys are sick of hearing about it, but we got to talk about it. We got to talk about the soap opera that is Dwight Howard, so we're going to talk about that. Talk about Jeremy Lin, some news about him and his contract with the Knicks. Kind of what's going on with that. I don't think he's happy about some situations with that. We're going to touch base about the Miami Heat. They actually signed Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis. Does that actually make them a lot to repeat as champions? And also, is that going to mean that Brooklyn has a shot too? We're going to talk about other NBA news. And, of course, where we'll be without talking about Drew Brees and the contract situation that's going on with the New Orleans Saints. But with that being said, Robert Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Doing great, man. How's everything going, Doc?
Man, it's a beautiful day, man. A little rainy here, but other than that, it's exciting. So let's go ahead and jump right in. For those that want to call in and tweet us, I'll throw out the numbers. The call-in number for those that want to share your thoughts, it is 424-243-9519. That is a full free call. And also follow us via Twitter and Facebook at the number 12, THManSports. Rob Ford, let's talk about it. Everyone's sick about it, but Mr. Dwight Howard, man, if you were a betting man, where do you think this guy would land? I don't even know if you care, but where do you think he's going, sir?
Well, as of today, the Orlando Magic has suspended all trade talks for Dwight Howard. And right now, the Orlando Magic wants to focus on hiring the head coach, which, you know, amazingly, they still don't have one. They want to focus their attention on hiring a head coach right now. Then they're going to come back and look at this Dwight Howard situation. And in New Jersey has practically called off. They pulled out of the Dwight Howard talks. They went ahead and signed Brook Lopez today to a four-year, $60 million deal. And so even without Dwight Howard, this New Jersey team is going to be pretty intriguing. And you look at that team right now, Deron Williams, Joe Johnson, Gerald Wallace. Looks as though they're going to bring back Chris Humphries. They've already re-signed Brook Lopez. And right now they're recruiting Antoine Jameson to come off the bench and be kind of like a sixth man. And they've got a couple of pieces on this team. Marshawn Brooks, another guy that can come off the bench and score. And I still think this team could very easily be a top three team in the East next season, even without Dwight Howard. So it's very intriguing, that team there. But we're talking about Dwight Howard here. Where is he going to land? I still think it's either going to be either the Lakers or Brooklyn in the long run. If it is Brooklyn, it probably won't happen until just before the trading deadline during the middle of the season, which means Dwight Howard would have to play maybe until January or February in Orlando, maybe at the trading deadline. Orlando and Brooklyn could possibly work something out. If it's going to be before the season, it's going to be the Lakers. And it will probably be like a three-team trade that will consist of Houston, the Lakers, and Orlando, where Orlando will trade Dwight Howard to the Lakers, the Lakers will trade Bynum to Houston, and the Lakers and Houston will send Orlando a bunch of expiring contracts and a bunch of first-round picks. And so there you have it. If it's going to be before the season, it's going to be the Lakers. If it's a trade right before the trading deadline, it's going to be Brooklyn. And so those are the two teams where, you know, I think that's going to be involved in this. So it's either going to be Brooklyn or L.A. where Dwight Howard winds up. And being a Hornet fan, I hope he stays in the Eastern Conference.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, like I said, it's been one of these situations, as everyone that knows about this, that everyone's sick about hearing about it, you know, Dwight Howard's getting this reputation as becoming a major diva, and just the guy that you're kind of sick of the news. And, you know, like I said, it's very interesting that, as you said, that the match, they don't even have a coach. So it's like, you don't even know what the makeup of the team is going to be. So, you know, I know you said that's interesting as far as what's going to happen with all the signings that the Nets have been doing. You think they'll still have the cap room to actually sign him next year, or even if it happens in the middle of the year, you think they'll be able to extend his contract, you think, or is that going to be a stumbling block?
Well, yes. Basically, what's going to happen is if they do are able to come up to a trade right before the trading deadline, they still have the parts that they were already talking about, which is Brooke Lopez, of course, Chris Humphries, Marshawn Brooks, three future first-round picks. So you'll still have those same parts that you can trade for a Dwight Howard. And so, I mean, they will still have the pieces in place. Today, Brooklyn had to make an executive decision today. They didn't want to lose Brooke Lopez, and Portland was going to try to sign him today. Brooke Lopez was holding out to sign with New Jersey so they can trade him to Orlando. And so that's one of the reasons why Brooklyn got in on and went ahead and signed Brooke Lopez so that he wouldn't sign with Portland. And that will pretty much mess up any future trades that they would have a chance of getting Dwight Howard.
Now, if you're like the Lakers or if you're the Rockets, why would you take that chance of trading for Dwight Howard? You know, like I said, I think you've heard some news that, you know, Bynum may not be happy as far as leaving the Lakers. If you think that's where he's going, and then, you know, you heard some problems about them signing an extension with him, you think that's a possibility as well, or you think that's more or less just like him posturing to make sure that he's making it difficult to make that trade?
As far as Andrew Bynum is concerned?
As far as Andrew Bynum, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Well, I mean, I think ultimately if Bynum stays in L.A. and Dwight Howard doesn't go to L.A., I mean, the Lakers franchise is still one of the best in the business. You know, as much as, you know, we may despise them, they're still one of the best basketball organizations. And I think in the long run, cooler heads will prevail, and Mitch Kupchak will convince him to stay.
Yeah, it's very interesting, too. Like I said, I know everyone's kind of sick about hearing that, but we had to at least kind of address it because of what's going on. It's been a lot of the news as far as the NBA, but there have been a lot of other things going on. So if you want to move on, Rob, I think we can. But we'll definitely monitor the situation and see what goes on. You know, like I said, I think both of us agree. I think he's going to ultimately end up in Brooklyn, unless we get shocked out of this world. He somehow ends up in Atlanta or something, but I think he's going to definitely end up in Brooklyn, as mentioned. And if that's the case, we'll see how that plays out, because then we'll be talking about Brooklyn possibly being one team that may challenge the Heat as far as making a good run for the finals in the Eastern Conference.
No doubt.
Second topic that we are going to talk about is Mr. Jeremy Lin Sanity. And there's been a report that he's been upset that the Knicks didn't move on that contract that he had. And I guess, Robbie, you want to fill us in about this situation, because obviously he went out to the Rockets and got that contract. And then it's reported the Knicks are going to match, obviously, which we assume. But kind of similar to what happened with Josh Smith here, I don't know, it's like he set the market, and then he's going back and saying, okay, now you guys want to match it. And I guess kind of talk about this, and that this is a good move for the Knicks, and, you know, what's going to happen with Mr. Jeremy Lin.
But that's a good – you bring up the Josh Smith situation from a few years back with the Hawks, and it's a very similar situation. Josh Smith was a restricted free agent. He goes out to Memphis and gets a nice contract, and then the Hawks came out and matched him to keep him in Atlanta. And Josh Smith was like, well, hey, why didn't you offer this to me in the beginning? And the same situation where you have him with Eric Gordon right now with the Hornets. He goes out to Phoenix to get the 4-year, $58 million offer. The Hornets offered Eric Gordon 4 years, $50 million, which is just about $8 million less than what Phoenix offered. And now he's like, okay, well, you know, why didn't you offer me this in the beginning? And the same situation is happening with Jeremy Lin. He went down to Houston, got a 4-year, $32 million offer, and now the Knicks is matching it. Now Jeremy Lin is all upset, you know, hey, why you didn't offer me this in the beginning? I wouldn't have had to take these trips. You know, you didn't make me feel like I was wanted, those kind of things. you know, I think what you're just seeing right now in today's NBA, you're just seeing a lot of prima donnas here. You know, guys still going to make a lot of money. They're still whining and crying. And, you know, we want to keep this thing G-rated here. And but they definitely whining and crying and complaining and moaning. And he's still going to re-sign with the Knicks are going to match it. He's still going to make $32 million over 4 years. Come on, play basketball and stop whining.
Yeah, I agree with you
100%.
That's all NBA player. I agree with you 100%. But, you know, it is interesting because and I try to give folks the benefit of the doubt. If I'm coming from the perspective of the player, it's more or less like, you know, obviously you want to get paid the maximum that you can. So you're going out there and you're taking trips and all that jazz. And I think if you're the team, if you know you're going to match, I think it is kind of wise because you want to see what the market is. You want to set the market.
Exactly.
So if you see somebody and you may have a value for a free agent and you may say, all right, Mr. Lynn, you know, I think you're about worth $40 million or something like that or whatever the number is, and they exceed that, then you have to say, well, you know what? I didn't realize you were going to be worth that $50 million contract, so I'm going to have to let you go. You know, and that's kind of the situation, too. It is kind of a smart business move. I mean, sometimes it backfires on you a little bit because sometimes that player may be a little upset. But in the end, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter because, like you said, they're just pretty monotonous. You're still getting paid to play basketball. So that's the bottom line. Now, for me, I'm still surprised that Jeremy Lin is actually going back to Houston because they're one of the teams that cut him, you know, along with the Golden State, too. So I'm kind of surprised that he's actually going back and giving them a shot to re-sign because I didn't really expect that to happen whatsoever.
Yeah, that definitely was very surprising. But the Houston Rockets, believe it or not, has a huge Asian fan base. And, you know, you got a guy like that in the Rockets. You know, they don't quite sell out that Toyota Center. They just come up usually about 1,000 or two short. They have a huge Asian fan base, and they thought that maybe can, you know, add some excitement to their organization, help them with ticket sales a little bit. Plus, you know, he's proven to be a solid player. I still don't think he's a great player because he has a tendency to turn over the ball. But, you know, I think that was they were looking for a little spunk to their program, a little spunk to their organization to make their not only their team better, but to also help them at the box office as well. But it looks like the Knicks are going to keep him, and so the Rockets are going to have to look elsewhere as far as improving their point guard position. They let Goran Dragic go to Phoenix, and they traded Kyle Lowry to Toronto. So they really have a gaping hole at point guard now, and they were hoping that Jeremy Lin could come in and fill that. But the Knicks went ahead and matched it. And I think you have to look at it like this, too, with this situation. You have to understand the rules here. I mean, you are a restricted free agent, and these teams that are, you know, that have your rights as a restricted free agents, they're going to let the market play itself out. I don't think it's that these teams don't want you. They just want to see what the value is, just like you said, what the market value is for the player, and then they can decide to match it. So I don't think it has anything. I think these guys kind of gets upset, but I think it's the business, and it's not, like I said, I don't think it's that the Knicks didn't want Lin. They obviously do, and the same thing with the Hornets. They obviously want Gordon, and it's just that. And same thing with the Hawks with Josh Smith from a few years ago. I mean, these organizations wanted the players, but they just had to let the market play itself out.
Gotcha. And I think going back to Jeremy Lin, I think it's interesting you made a great point about that that being a very big Asian population and or Asian fan base, excuse me, because back in the day, you know, you obviously had Yao Ming, which is a great thing for them.
Exactly.
So it'd be great if, you know, if we go back in time and you bring Yao and you have Jeremy Lin, that would have been a perfect scenario too. So as far as bringing the international game to Texas, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But real quick before we talk about other news and what's going on with other NBA news, I want to just throw out the number real quick for those that want to call in and share your thoughts and have any feedback. The number once again is 424-243-9519. And don't forget to tweet us. Tell us how you think the show is going. Any topics you want us to definitely discuss. That Twitter address is at number 12, THManSports, and also via Facebook. So let's jump into some other NBA news, Rob. Obviously, the Miami Heat signing Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis. Not sure how much Ray Allen has in the tank, but I'm going to throw the question to you. Do you think that's enough for for the Heat to obviously repeat. They still haven't locked down that center position, but, you know, I don't know how big of a need that is. But do you think that's enough for them to continue to be a team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Well, based on all the transactions that's taken place thus far with the draft and free agency, I don't see a team out there on paper that has catapulted the Miami Heat. Brooklyn, of course, if they somehow would have gotten Dwight Howard, would have became the closest. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen in the near future at this current time. But as of right now, based on all the transactions you see in free agency and in the draft, I think they are still the favorite to win the title next season and repeat. And Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis, those guys, of course, are not the same players they were 3-4 years ago, but they still can hit the wide-open jump shot. And when you have guys on your team like Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James, as you saw in the NBA Finals with Shane Battier, Mario Chalmers, Mike Miller just constantly being wide open behind a three-point line because those guys just call so much attention to them with double teams. And so you just add two more guys that can come in the game and knock down wide-open three-point shots. And if you really look at Ray Allen with the Boston Celtics, if you really look at that most of his playoff series, even this past year, he wasn't getting a lot of wide-open threes. He's going to get a lot of that with the Miami Heat. So he still is a liability on defense at this stage in his career. So other guys are going to have to make up for his lack of defensive prowess at this stage of his career. But he can still come in and knock down those wide-open threes. And Rashard Lewis can do the same thing. And Rashard Lewis is 6'10", can still rebound the ball a little bit. So I definitely think they've gotten a little bit better. And I know there are a lot of teams that have gotten a little bit better, like the Lakers. I think OKC has even gotten a little bit better. Brooklyn, of course, as we mentioned, has gotten a little bit better. And you might can even make the case that the Celtics have even gotten a little bit better with Jason Terry and getting Jared Sellinger so far in this offseason. But I still don't think anybody has catapulted over the Heat. And as of now, all I have to say they're the favorites.
Wow. Like I said, it's pretty
interesting. They can still use a center, but I still don't think anybody has put together a roster that's going to catapult them over the Heat.
Yeah, like you said, the Heat, they've got a lot of – and as you saw, they kind of grew, man. Obviously, Chalmers growing up, they have a lot of the players that kind of know their roles. And that's something like you have a team that kind of knows and understands what's going on. I mean, like you said, LeBron – did his thing, you know. Dwayne Wade was able to do some things, but a lot of different players around them, they knew their roles coming in, and they got just enough points from the other guys to make it a complete team. So, you know, you're definitely adding, you know, Mike Miller. We go back and forth with him. I know, especially you, Rob, as far as his value to that team, but you definitely add a solid piece like Ray Allen. You know, like you said, I mean, hopefully if he can come in, if he can at least do what, you know, Miller did, I think that's an upgrade. Rashard Lewis is definitely an athletic guy. You know, you pair him and Bosch together. I mean, he knows what happened. That's a pretty tall front line as well. So, you know, hopefully, you know, these guys are going to add some pieces too, and they're a little bit more hungry to get to grab that ring. But, you know, if Brooklyn adds the Dwight Howard piece, that's going to definitely change the dynamic of the Eastern Conference totally too. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And if you're the Knicks, how upset are you that the Nets are pretty much grabbing all the headlines? You know, obviously they get Jeremy Lin back, but I'm sure if you're the Knicks, you're a little upset as far as what's going on. You definitely want to make a splash too. So we'll see how that plays out. We got about 11 minutes, Rob. Any other NBA news you want to highlight, or anything you want to talk about, or anything that you want to talk about that you think is kind of newsworthy?
Well, I mean, you just mentioned the New York Knicks, and I think with the addition of Marcus Camby, is going to make that team a little bit better. And as we just mentioned here, there are a lot of teams that I think have improved themselves. To what degree, we're going to have to find out. The Knicks now have Marcus Camby, Amari Stoudemire, Tyson Chandler. I mean, that's an imposing rotation of three big men right there. You got Carmelo Anthony. You go out and re-sign J.R. Smith. You got Jeremy Lin coming back. You're going to lose Landry Fields, it looked like. He's going to go to Toronto. The Knicks is not going to match that offer. You go out and you re-sign a Steve Novak. So, I mean, that's a pretty good team right there. And, you know, we'll have to see from all indications, based on what we've seen thus far, Carmelo and Amari just doesn't play well together at the same time. So the Knicks are going to have to figure out a way to make that work. But on paper, this is a team that has some good personnel. And we're going to have to wait and see how it kind of plays out. But on paper, this is a team that looks like they've slightly improved themselves as well. And another thing I wanted to mention is Steve Nash, the Lakers. Where do you think the Lakers are in the Western Conference? Does that catapult them over OKC and the Spurs? Or do you still think the Lakers are sitting in third place right there in the Western Conference?
I think they are still in third place, and I apologize to all my Lakers fans. And while I think that was a great move, I don't think it's enough. They have to get younger. You know, obviously Kobe's going to do his thing. Nash is going to help. He's definitely going to take some heat off of Kobe, and he's going to have let them in. And I think they're going to be a better team, no doubt, because having a point guard of his caliber is going to definitely do that. But I just don't think it's enough. I mean, obviously, you've heard through the league as far as who's going to be able to stop, you know, the Russell Westbrooks of the world. I don't think Steve Nash is quite there defensively. But without a doubt, the Lakers will be a better team. And unless there's any other moves that we don't know about, you know, right now, maybe getting another backup point guard to kind of help out, another young guy to kind of help that particular squad. You have no idea what's going to happen with Bynum or if Dwight's going to be there. But, you know, we'll see how they counteract that, too. But as of now, I think they're third in the Western Conference.
Great. Yeah, I would say the Spurs and the Lakers would be neck and neck for second place. But I still say they're both behind OKC. And I think Perry Jones, the third, is going to help OKC a little bit in their rotation. And I tell you, another underrated move OKC just did in the last couple of days is signing Hollis Thompson, a sharp shooting swing man from Georgetown. He went undrafted. But OKC went ahead and signed him to a 3-year, $9 million deal. And I think that's going to be a sleeper pickup for OKC. So I think they're going to be a little bit better. And I still think they're the team to beat in the Western Conference, but I still think they're also a notch behind the Miami Heat as well. Let's get on to the Dallas Mavericks. It looks like they're taking a beating here in the early part of free agency. They lost Jason Terry to the Celtics. They lose Jason Kidd, and that's another guy we didn't mention with the Knicks. The Knicks also signed Jason Kidd, so there's another addition to their team to help Jeremy Lin. So the Dallas Mavericks lose Kidd, they lose Jason Terry. They lost out on the bid to sign Deron Williams, but today they just made a couple of good moves. They signed Chris Kaman, and they get at Darren Collison on a trade from the Pacers.
Wow.
Where do you think this sits Dallas right now? Dallas was sitting at number 7 in the West last year. And I was starting to think that this is a team that could easily fall out of playoff contention in the Western Conference. But now you get Chris Kaman, you get a guy, you still have Dirk Nowitzki. And so you have two big men that can really shoot the ball right there. And Darren Collison, the up-and-coming point guard.
Good moves. You know, obviously, you know, Darren Collison was making his name, and you've probably known being a New Orleans Hornets fan, and Darren,
yes.
I think it's definitely a good move for them. You know, obviously with Dallas, you know, Jason Kidd, as much of a great point guard he is, he's still an older guy. So you replace that, and you lose some experience, but you probably gain a little bit more athleticism, a younger, you know, kind of stud. I don't know if that's enough because you did lose a lot of punch with Jason Terry being gone, so. You know, we kind of have to monitor the situation. If you hear the reports, they're aggressively going after Elton Brand. If that's a move, they're going to, you know, we'll see how that plays out because they're going to be a nice, pretty aggressive front line. So we'll see how that works out for them. But, you know, like I said, I think it's a good move. You know, they're getting younger, obviously, but I don't think it's enough to help. I mean, it's a good move, but I don't think it's enough at this juncture right now.
Yes, I still say they're still just battling for playoff position. I can't see them tapping into the top 4 or 5 teams in the Western Conference at this stage. Kevin Love just made some interesting comments the other day. He's tired of losing in Minnesota, and he says if they don't make the playoffs this coming season, he's going to ask for a trade. And here we go again, prima donnas. And Portland and Minnesota is discussing a trade for Nicolas Batum, who's a French, he's a Frenchman who I think is one of the more underrated small forwards in the NBA. He was a restricted free agent. He signed with Minnesota. Portland has the right to match it, but now they're talking about a possible sign and trade. Now, you're going to have Ricky Rubio, who's going to be out probably for the first couple of months of the season. Michael Beasley is no longer there. You still have Derek Williams. You still have Kevin Love. And if you add Nicolas Batum, and by the time you get Ricky Rubio back, they go out and get Kyle Korver in a trade today. Can Minnesota make the playoffs next year with that roster?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Only because the young, they're still a young team. I mean, Kevin Love is another underrated guy doing his thing. If they trade out, if they move Kevin, yeah, like you said. But, you know, I don't, they've lost a lot of pieces. They haven't replaced, you know, I'd say that Beasley was a stud, but they haven't replaced him. You know, Derek Williams is a great, you know, up-and-coming player. You like Rubio, but I don't think it's enough. That's just me. So that's my my thought process on the whole deal. What are your thoughts, sir?
I still think they're just missing the playoff as well. I think they need a couple of big-time – I think they need another big-time player. And, you know, I think they probably should have took a little bit more effort to keep Michael Beasley there too. If you have another guy on the team that can, you know, score the basketball. But I do think Nicolas Batum is one of the more underrated basketball players in the league. And, you know, Minnesota obviously realized that we're offering him a nice contract, 4 years, $50 million. So that would be really interesting to pay attention to that. But I do think if Kevin Love can be patient, because I think he's going to have to wait another full healthy year of Ricky Rubio. So I'm, not next year, but I think the following year, if he can be a little patient, with a healthy Rubio, a Love, a Batum, and a Derek Williams, you can have yourself a playoff team, but I just don't think it's going to be next year. And really quickly here, we got the San Antonio Spurs. It looked like they're going to stand pat. They re-signed Tim Duncan, Danny Green, Boris Diaw. What do you think they need to do to get over the hump with OKC? I mean, it seems to me I would think they need to be trying to get some more younger, athletic players, but it looked like they may be standing pat.
Yes, I mean, like I said, they've got great coaches with Popovich, you know, adding some more depth. I don't know what else you can do at this juncture because you've got, you know, Ginobili doing this thing, Tony Parker, you know, and the Tim Duncan seems to be the ageless wonder. You know, but besides adding more punch, maybe adding another small forward or something like that, maybe that can help them out. Maybe the guys that they had last year as far as the guys off the bench kind of grow and you hope that they can get another experience, some more experience under belt, kind of help them out too. So, you know, and unless you move, you know, Ginobili to kind of the starting, to a starting role, excuse me, you know, maybe you got to strengthen that bench too. But, you know, they gave OKC a definite run for their money. You know, maybe they can get like another younger point guard to help out, maybe another defensive stopper, but, you know, like I said, they're always going to be in the hunt. Man, we're already hitting the two-minute warning, Robert. We've got about 90 seconds left. And I wanted to talk about the Hawks real quick, man. I know you kind of leave this out, but, you know, you're talking about Lou Williams and stuff like that too. But go ahead, sir.
Well, let's save that for the OT portion. Let's just kind of get our viewers prepped for next week. Stay tuned for next week's show on next Wednesday, July 18th. And once again, same time, same place, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Please join us. Like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. You know, call us anytime during the shows, 424-243-9519. He's Andre Peterson. I'm Robert Ford. We're here every Wednesday night. Please tune in next week and definitely listen to our OT portion of the show on tomorrow. It will be live. You can listen to the OT portion. And we'll be talking more NBA in our OT portion and Drew Brees.
Gotcha. And like I said, this is supposedly, Rob, the slowest day in sports because there's nothing going on in the sports world right now, too. So we're still able to knock out some fun stuff. Congratulations to the National League for winning the All-Star Game 8-0. A lot of big things going on. Congrats to Serena Williams doing her thing. and also to Roger Federer. A lot of fun things happen in the sports world. We're here for you guys. Definitely tune in. Check us out. Tell your friends. Tweet us. All the fun stuff. Other than that, we'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people. Listen to our OT portion.
All right. We are now in the OT. I got a little excited because I didn't think we were going to get a chance to extend that. But I just want to say, I know we're going to talk about the Hawks real quick, but I think it's very ironic, sir, that, you know, the big deal that went down, if you're a Hawks fan, obviously Joe Johnson finally being moved to the Brooklyn Nets, and we keep talking about them. That's just what's been going on in the news. And I find it ironic that, that he's actually suiting up with Deron Williams, and you could have had this guy. This could have been besides Chris Paul, obviously, we keep beating that dead horse, but I'm kind of curious to see how they actually play, because this is kind of what could have been if you're a Hawks fan. So, you know, fast forward 6-7 years later, and, you know, wow, totally different scenario. So, you know, I know a lot of moves have been going on with the Hawks here in Atlanta, and I kind of want to get your thoughts about what's going on with them, and obviously them finding the hometown hero of Lou Williams. He's actually going to keep the number 24 jersey, so all the old Marvin Williams jerseys, it's fine. You can keep that same number, and all is well.
Well, I definitely think Lou Williams is a guy that can come off the bench and just really score the basketball for you. He averaged close to 15 points a game with the Sixers. A lot of people don't realize this, but he was the runner-up to James Harden as the sixth man of the year in the NBA this past year. So he's definitely a guy that can come off the bench and light it up. I still like him in that six-man role. I wouldn't want to put him in a starting lineup. I think he can come off the bench and give you some firepower. And, you know, right now, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, I think one thing you need to be looking for is kind of like a small forward. You still have Josh Schmidt and Al Horford in the interior, and that's as good as almost any team in the league on the interior. You got Devin Harris at the point guard. I like Jeff Teague coming off the bench, too. I think he's a good combo guard. I think you would want him coming off the bench. I think if you can have a bench of Teague and Lou Williams, I mean, that can give you some firepower off the bench. And I guess the question mark now is who's going to start at 2 and 3 for the Hawks? Are you going to get guys like Anthony Morrow, and you go out and get a guy like Deshaun Stevenson? I think you can start one of those guys at the 2, but who's going to start at the 3 position? And I think that's where Danny Ferry is going to have his work cut out for him right now. He's trying to find somebody that's starter caliber for a small forward, or, you know, do you save your cap money for next summer?
Gotcha, yeah, and like I said, there's been some rumblings that Anthony Randolph is kind of being rumored to take some trips here. Looks like we lost out on Rashard Lewis, so, you know, obviously maybe we're turning attention on Anthony Randolph. But like you, you know, we're kind of curious to see what actually plays out, and I find it ironic that we talked earlier about Houston, and let's keep an eye on that situation too, because, you know, I think we have, in my mind, I still think that Teague and Lou Williams are kind of the same player. And I mean that basically saying that Lou Williams is a better player, obviously, but they're kind of similar. And, you know, the rumblings here is that we got too many guards, and we may think that Teague may be moved and or Horford. But, you know, if Houston has something to offer, that could be an opportunity for us to make a move. So we'll see how that plays out, definitely, because, you know, them trading Kyle Lowry, you know, they definitely have a hole there, as you mentioned earlier.
Yes, those are some very good points. You do have a lot of guards there. But I think Teague and Lou Williams are slightly different. I think Teague is a little bit more athletic. He can get to the basket. Lou Williams is just a sharpshooter. He can shoot the lights out. He can really shoot the basketball. So I think Teague is more of an aggressive driver, draw and kick kind of player. Lou Williams has a nice penetration game too, but not to the level of Teague. But Lou Williams is an extreme sharpshooter. He can shoot the basketball, and that's where he gets his points. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons why you want to keep Lou Williams coming off the bench. He's about a 6'2", 6'3". He's not really a point guard. He's more of a shooting guard. And so you want to have them coming off the bench where you have to guard these elite the twos and threes in the NBA. And so I think if you can leave him coming off the bench, he can help you with some scoring in your second unit.
Gotcha. Good move. Any other NBA news you want to highlight, sir, before we talk about the news that has the Saints fans and it's kind of like going nuts and Drew Brees? Anything else you want to highlight as far as the NBA, sir?
Well, there's a couple other things here. Los Angeles Clippers here. They re-signed Blake Griffin here to a five-year, $95 million deal. They go out and get Jamal Crawford. They re-signed Chauncey Billups. They go out and get Lamar Kardashian. And they acquire Marco Bellinelli from the Hornets today. And so some quality players here. And, you know, we mentioned the Lakers. We mentioned the Spurs. We mentioned OKC. But the Clippers were the fourth team out in the West, and they've gone out and acquired some nice pieces here. Jamal Crawford, Lamar Kardashian, as I just mentioned, Marco Bellinelli. They re-signed Chauncey Billups here. Where does the Clippers stand in the West?
You know, I kind of like the Clippers. The thing you have to worry about with them is the chemistry. You know, obviously Chauncey Billups, you know, got hurt late last season, so I'm sure they would have loved to have him play a lot with Chris Paul. You know, obviously Blake Griffin is becoming you know, superstar before our eyes. But, you know, like I said, I definitely like the pieces. And, you know, Jamal Crawford, he's kind of a volume shooter. I don't know too much about the Bertinelli guy, if I got his name correct, that they just re-signed, just signed. So we'll have to see how that team meshes. There's a lot of different moving parts with them. DeAndre Jordan doing his thing. So we'll see if that's enough for them to kind of gel and make a move. But, you know, definitely the way that Chris Paul is playing, they have a capability of definitely making the playoffs, being that fifth or sixth seed in the West.
Yes, I think they definitely solidified themselves. And, you know, I think they definitely solidified themselves of being up there in the top four, top five teams, still there in the West. And, you know, you have to watch the Spurs. I mean, they could take a slide next year. They're getting up in age. You know, the Spurs is one of these teams that could possibly fall down to four or five. And you could see a team like OKC 1, Lakers 2, and Clippers could possibly move up to number 3. But that's about as high as I can see this Clipper team being. It's number 3 at the most. I can't see them getting any higher than that next season. And one last thought on the NBA. We talked about your Hawks, so we got to talk about my Hornets here as well. Yeah, you know it was coming. The Hornets acquired Ryan Anderson over the weekend from the Orlando Magic. And they're going to match the deal with Eric Gordon. And supposedly Monty Williams is smoothing everything over with Eric Gordon. So it looked like everything is going to be good on that front. And the Hornets also traded Jarrett Jack to Golden State today. And so it freed up a little bit more cap space. And they're hoping to go out and get a center and maybe acquire another guard and some role players with this additional cap space. But suddenly you have a team that looks like it's going to be a little bit more competitive next season. At the forward position now, you have Al-Farouq Aminu, Ryan Anderson, and Anthony Davis, and Jason Smith. And now at the guards, you still have Gravis Vasquez to start at the point. You still have Eric Gordon. And you have a good combo guard like Austin Rivers. And, of course, you maybe don't follow the Hornets as much as I do, but I'm asking your opinion. Can they sneak into the playoffs next year?
That's going to be tough for the Hornets. Anything is possible. There's a lot of strong teams in the Western Conference for you guys. So, you know, obviously we'll keep an eye on what goes on with what happens with the Lakers. I don't know. You know, we talk about having a good point guard, and I'm going to flip this question to you. Do you think you guys have a good enough point guard? I mean, I don't know. You know, we know that Austin Rivers is a combo guard. There's going to be a lot for rookie Anthony Davis to kind of put the team on his back. It's going to be tough for them. You know, they could stick in, but do you think they have enough needs at point guard to actually make a move for the playoffs?
Well, I definitely think the Hornets could use an upgrade at the 1 and 5. I think at the 2, 3, and 4, I think the Hornets have enough pieces at those positions to really compete, but you still could use an upgrade at the 1 and 5. Gravis Vasquez is probably an underrated point guard, maybe a middle-of-the-pack kind of point guard in the NBA. You know, he has great size. He's about 6'6", and, you know, so he gives you a lot of size at the point guard position. And he's a pretty good facilitator. He doesn't turn the ball over. Nothing spectacular. He's not going to score the ball a lot. But you still have a weakness at the 5 position as well. I'm going to say the 7 and 8 seeds in the playoffs last year in the West was Dallas and Utah. And Utah was not that spectacular as an 8 seed. And Dallas is a team, you know, could be just as good or they could make a step backwards. And so I'm going to say the Hornets either gets in as an 8 seed or they just miss the playoffs next season, based on what I currently see. You know, healthy Eric Gordon, you're going to have a guy that can really score the basketball. So I think there definitely will be a better team. And from all indications, Anthony Davis is a guy that can come in and probably contribute right away. May not be a superstar right away, but he'll definitely be a contributor right away. So I think this is a team that either gets in as a number 8 or they just miss the playoffs.
And real quick, to kind of add something real quick, and I always think about teams that just don't get it right, that keep missing players, and I keep feeling for Portland, man, because you keep missing on players too. So, just a little small thing as far as what's going on with them. I know you mentioned them possibly getting a Kevin Love. That trade goes down, so that would be beautiful for them. They just keep, unfortunately, Greg Oden got injured and Brandon Roy got injured too. So kind of what could have been them missing on Durant, that's the snake-bitten franchise for now too. So hopefully they'll start moving up too. But for now, you start going with them too. But to answer your question, the Hornets, we'll see how that plays out. Like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head. They may have to go upgrade at the 1 and add in that 5 because, like I said, I think while Davis can contribute, he's still going to be a young player, man. That's a lot to ask for a young guy, especially if he's not LeBron James or a Kobe Bryant type player too. So we'll go from there. Got about 5 minutes, sir. Let's talk about this Drew Brees situation and his contract. All of Saints land is freaking out. What are they, about $5 to $2 million apart in the contract? Last I read. What's going on?
Well, on guaranteed monies. It looks like
guaranteed
the parameters
money
for a deal are in place for a 5-year, $100 million deal. It looks like those are going to be the parameters for a contract. Right now it's all about how much of that is going to be guaranteed. And so reportedly they're $10 million apart on guaranteed money. And my guess is the difference between whether it's going to be $60 million guaranteed or whether it's going to be $70 million guaranteed. We'll have to wait and see. My prediction is this thing will be finalized by Saturday. And, you know, everybody in the Who Dat Nation will be calm and a bit relaxed. You know, we'll have Drew Brees in uniform this year. But my prediction is they'll come to some kind of agreement by Saturday. And we'll wait and see. I have some sources on this. That tells me that the Saints and Drew Brees have had an agreement for quite some time, but they just want to allow him to be able to talk to Sean Payton a little bit longer. So not sure if that's true, but I have some sources that have given me that information. And so we'll just wait and see. And so supposedly they've had a handshake agreement for quite some time and just allowing him a little extra time to be able to talk to Sean Payton legally.
Wow, that's some insider information right there. The reason why Drew Brees hasn't signed because he wants to keep talking to Sean Payton. Wow. We'll see how it plays out, sir. Man.
Yes, yes. But, so there you have it, talking sports with a 12th man giving you that kind of information.
Good stuff. Well, like you said, you know, the ESPYs are on, so maybe we'll recap some stuff that's going on with them as far as what's going on, a lot of fun things. But, man, as always, pretty great night as far as for talking sports. A lot of NBA news. There's so much different things we didn't get a chance to get. But for those that are listening in, definitely don't forget to follow us via Twitter, because Rob does a great job as far as updating a lot of things that are going on, a lot of signings, a lot of updates. And, you know, we're here to kind of shed some insider knowledge as well as far as hearing Mr. Drew Brees too. So, you know, like I said, I don't think we should be worried about it because I think he's going to re-sign. I don't think there's a problem with that. You know, I know he wants his money, and New Orleans was the only one that gave him a shot, and look what he did. He's been able to kind of turn him around and turn that franchise around too. So I think you guys are going to step up and pay him what he's definitely worth.
Yes, there's no doubt about it, no doubt about it. And just as we're about to wrap up our show here, just Andre mentioned earlier on a live portion of the show, we want to offer our congratulations to Serena Williams again winning her 5th Wimbledon title. That's an incredible accomplishment. And Roger Federer winning his 7th Wimbledon title. And we also want to offer congratulations to the 12 men that will be representing the United States on our basketball team. And Andre Iguodala and Blake Griffin and James Harden were the last 3 selected to kind of finalize that roster. So congratulations to them. And we're going to be rooting for you guys to bring home the gold. But meanwhile, join us once again next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Once again, he's Andre Peterson. I'm Robert Ford. And make sure you listen in next week and follow us on Twitter at 12 Man Sports.
Good night, people. We'll talk to you soon. See you next week.
Good night, people.